team knocked out of their conference tournament. Kansas being forced to withdraw from the Big 12 tournament because of COVID issues. Boy, that's four now. Kansas is the fourth team in the last 2 days, I think, to withdraw. You've got Duke, Virginia, North Carolina. Oh, man. Now, there's chances, according to ESPN, Virginia and Kansas could still play in the NCAA tournament, but they have to show 7 consecutive days of negative tests. 7. So the tournament starts Friday, right? So they're going to have to be perfect. So today, if anybody tests positive, that's it, right? And they can't just keep those players out, I suppose. I had a feeling. You remember I was asking about this. I said, before the tournament, what happens if they're out on their conference tournaments and they get this? They're just knocked out. Now, Kansas is what, 11th, I think? So they've already punched their ticket. But that is bad, man. What's going to happen here? I mean, when do we? This is 4 in 2 days. So is it believable that we could get up to like 10? If it's like 10 teams that were supposed to be in March Madness, I mean, that's going to be tough. Surely they're still going to have this thing, right? I mean, this time last year, we were canceling conference tournaments left and right. We're at least getting to that with Championship Saturday just around the corner, so we're at least going to get to that side of it. But, boy, this is tough. I had a feeling this was going to happen. First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. Yeah, oof. I mean, talk about asterisks on this season and what it's going to look like. You know, if we eliminate, like, I don't want the Rams to get in because like 10 teams got knocked out because of that. Like, I want the Rams to get in by beating Utah State tonight. Yeah, that's the tough part. Eastside Chris, I'm dipping my toe in the water. It's cold. The Chiefs have gone 27-3 in division games since 2015. Apparently, Dixon is on to something. Don't want to research Chiefs anymore. Please win tonight, Rams. I just put my CSU banner out. I think this Eastside Chris is serious. Are you? What about the Broncos, man? Are you converting? Is he converting, Colfax? Dixon's like growing his own little Chiefs kingdom, which makes me want to throw up in my mouth a little bit. Just a little bit. Yeah, there's no question, man. I mean, and Patrick Mahomes is restructuring his deal a little bit today, too, according to ESPN. It's just not going to matter that much for Mahomes, but he is. Chiefs, according to ESPN.com earlier today, Chiefs and Kansas City are restructuring. That will save $17 million on the salary cap for them. So they're expected to convert Mahomes' $21.7 million roster bonus to a signing bonus in the coming days, which would save the Chiefs $17 million against the salary cap. I don't understand. It's so weird, man. They find ways all the time. Teams find ways. There's loopholes in every system to beat the salary cap. And Broncos were, they were doing that stuff in the 90s. Just reworking some language here and moving a few things over here. It's nuts. It's hard to follow. This is a crazy time of year. It's just reworking contracts. But that's the thing. Like, you're seeing it, okay, restructure is a little bit different than a pay cut. League sources told Adam Schefter that the deal is worth $450 million over the 10-year period and could be up to worth to $503. The extension includes a $140 million injury guarantee as well as a non-trade clause. So that was the deal. But they're reworking it a little bit. So, yeah. Good. It's restructuring. It's not necessarily taking a pay cut. But nonetheless, the Chiefs trying to run this thing back. Are they the favorite to win, or are the Bucs the favorite? Who would you pick today to go to the Super Bowl next year? Is it going to be Tampa Bay and Kansas City again, rematch?
I think so.
I don't see any reason why Tampa Bay wouldn't do it. Couldn't make it back in. I mean, could Tom Brady seriously go for 8? I mean, he could go for 10.
He's going for 10.
He's going to be untouchable, man. Mahomes won't touch him. Mahomes has got the one. Okay, that's great. And I think we're all going to maybe agree that Mahomes is the better player. Like at this time in Tom Brady's career, Tom was really good. But Mahomes is the unicorn guy we talk about, right? Brady's just been steady Eddie and very good every single year. Patrick Mahomes is like Michael Jordan type talent. He just stands out above and beyond. However, Tom Brady finds ways to do it, and it's going to take a long time for Mahomes to get there. And he's going to have to probably beat him in the Super Bowl, because now Brady's not only got six more Super Bowls than Mahomes. It's crazy to say that out loud, but he's beat him head to head. And that's what you're going to be measured in when it comes to this level of greatness. You know, we can all say that Mahomes is a better athlete at the end of the day, but it'd be one thing if Brady just had like two more Super Bowls than Mahomes. Then it's like, okay, well, you know, Mahomes has one, Brady has three, but it's seven Super Bowls. Like that's the number that six is the number where you just back away. And go, well, there's really no argument. There's no way to argue that Tom Brady's the best of all time. You know, I mean, there's just no way because it's loaded up. Green Acres, do you know how many CSU basketball players have already had COVID? I feel like most of the team was hit a while back before the season when they had the shutdown, but I don't think it was publicized. Yeah, I would wager, just from my little birds out there, Colfax, I would wager that most of them had it, or at least some kind of a symptom or something with Colorado State. Hey, if that's the case, immunity might actually be part of our edge. This is like a survival now. Like that's who, you know, we always used to say that about, like in the NBA, it's really the team that's healthier. If you can stay healthy and get into the playoffs, then you got a shot to make some damage. Same with the NFL. This is basically don't get COVID. Yeah, CSU's probably don't have to worry about it because of their situation. I wonder what the number is going to be. How many teams? I mean, we're at four right now. It's nuts. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. What will the Broncos do with their running back situation? Philip Lindsay is the other big topic. I know Von Miller and Kareem Jackson, those have been the guys we've been discussing at great length. But we still got to figure this out. Now, under contract currently, Melvin Gordon at his almost $9 million. Royce Freeman is there. Andrew Beck listed as a fullback. There's Jeremy Cox, Levante Bellamy, and Damari Crockett. Those are the running backs. Their only free agent is Philip Lindsay, which is restricted. It's not a big need for Denver, but if you don't bring Lindsay back, it does become a pretty big need. The Denver Post suggests that Lindsay will probably sign an offer sheet with another team. Denver should, according to the Post, decline to match it and start looking at running backs in the draft for later rounds like 3, 4, and 5. Do you want them to pick up? Would you match it if a team offers whatever it's going to be, $3 million for Philip Lindsay? Should the Broncos match that offer and bring him back?
I think so.
I'm so torn on this. My heart says yes. I love Philip Lindsay. You know, loved watching him in college. His first 2 years were amazing. I mean, hell, he had some big moments this year, too. I feel like he's been wronged by Denver since day one. My head wonders if he's battling injuries. Is he the kind of guy that you can really give the ball, 15 carries a game to? I mean, that's the question. You're talking 15. It used to be 20, but now you're just wondering, is Philip Lindsay the kind of guy that can carry the ball 15 times per game? I mean, this is crazy. I don't know, man. It's absolutely nuts. As far as what to do, where I would go with this, smart move probably would be to let him walk. What kind of player is he? I mean, I want him here as a fan, but. And it's not really the money. It's just he's going to take up a roster spot. And if you don't think that he's going to be a guy that's a big part of this offense going forward, then you're better off drafting a rookie, getting somebody else coming in, and away you go. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. Greenacre says, what if all the players already had it, but some random assistant coach got it? Would they let them play? When will immunity, antibodies, vaccines be taken into these decisions? Right now, I don't, like, if an assistant coach gets it and the players already had it, I still think that, wouldn't they shut it down? That's how crazy this is, man. I mean, at first it was all about deaths. Then it transitioned to cases. Then it transitioned to contact tracing. And that's where we are. And so that's what's so damn near impossible with these teams. I mean, I'm watching the same thing you guys are watching. Okay, I'm watching UNC yesterday. You saw it. They have to sit away from each other on the bench, right? They don't have a bench. They have chairs, and they have to sit six plus feet away from each other. But then what do they do in a timeout? They huddle. Coach is right there. They went off to the side, and they huddled. They got in a huddle. You guys, come on. Tell me. It's impossible. If somebody, it's just like a sickness. When I played high school basketball, if somebody got sick, we all got sick. You know, some were worse than others, but you're looking at it, man. These coaches are right there. They're in the huddle. They're talking. They pull the mask down. They all let it slip. I'm watching Dutcher last night. He's got it chin diaper style down here the whole game. And then he puts it on at the end. Oh, several times he just had it in his hands. Like, who are we fooling here? It's all about the optics of it, right?
And they're not even good at that.
No. None of them do it. And I'm not knocking them. I get it. But I'm just saying, what kind of game are we playing here?
Yeah.
If it's either strict or it's don't do it at all, then you need to enforce it. But it's, so this whole thing, yeah, about people are going to get it. And so, yeah, if there's an assistant coach for CSU that gets it, I would imagine. Boom, biggest hypocrisy in sports right now, bench distancing. Complete and utter not. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. They all have to sit away and wear their masks, and then they take them off to go play in the game.
And they were all tested beforehand, right? So they wouldn't have let them in the first place.
Right!
So why would they...
It doesn't make any sense, my man. Whole thing with the NBA. I mean, Michael Porter Jr. missed like almost a month. We crucified Drew Locke for not wearing a mask in a room... A quarterback's room with like four other people.
Away from everyone else.
Away from everybody else. They're not wearing masks on the sidelines.
They're playing a game with no masks.
They're in the huddle screaming at each other. They shower. Don't they shower in the same showers?
I think so.
I mean, come on. We crucified Drew Locke. ESPN, how dare you? And then at the same time, you see a coach pull his mask down and scream at a ref. You can actually see the spittle. You're like, there's COVID going. I see it jumping onto him. It's absolutely mind-boggling to me. Like, I'm all... Okay, if you're going to be serious about this, do it then. It's like the restaurant rules. You have to wear your mask walking to the door, but then you sit down and take it... it's bizarro world. Then you get people that are like, Brady, you're just a jerk that doesn't want to be safe. It's like, no, I'm just telling you what you're doing is not safe. That's not your rules. You're saying you need to wear a mask. But there's certain corners of the area that you don't need to wear a mask. I mean, yeah, the whole social distance bench thing is just out of this. I cannot understand it. My little brain can't catch up with that, I guess. 19 minutes after the hour. Whew, go off a little bit there. But that's what's frustrating. You know, what you just said during the break. Kansas, whoever has it, okay, they don't get to play. That should be where we are, but we are contact tracing, which once we took that step, I knew we were going to be in trouble.
It's game over.
Game over. Contact tracing, man. I mean, that's the Kevin Bacon thing, right? Everybody, yeah. What is it called?
Six degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. 6 degrees of COVID. You know somebody that had it or going to have it or thinks about having it or wants to have, I don't know, 20 minutes after the hour. We're going to talk Nuggets next. Finally back in action tonight against Memphis. Can they keep up that streak? They were 4-0 in their last four games heading into the All-Star break. Are we concerned that that's going to mess up the momentum? We'll talk to Harrison next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my buddy Brady Hall on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. This is The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Now, joining us on our First Advantage Hotline, Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets. Harrison, my man, why does it feel like it's been like a year since we've talked about the Nuggets playing in a basketball game? Nuggets finally going at it tonight.
Yeah, thank God. I have not known what to do with myself over this last week, to be honest, Brady. These are the times when I realize that my life is just pretty basic and boring. It just really revolves around basketball.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the Nuggets get a little extra break on Friday, of course, but it does. It feels like 2 weeks ago, the All-Star game, but it was just last weekend, and we got to see Nikola Jokic, I think, like, won the hearts of Americans watching that, by the way.
Oh, yeah. The game was terrible, but at least Nikola looked like he had some fun out there. He started a bromance with Giannis, which was fun. He looked like he was a kid out there who had just got let out for recess or something. So he had a good time. It certainly livened up what was a pretty boring Sunday night, though, I thought, except for the three-point contest. That got the juices flowing, but that was about it.
Yeah, no, the game, yeah, you're right. It wasn't a lot of points being scored. But Nikola Jokic, I mean, that, to me, Harrison, a lot, the takeaway there is like, wow, how good is this for the Nuggets brand? A team that, you know, it's not as sexy as some of the Miami Heat as far as locations. We know what happened with Carmelo Anthony in New York and the history of Boston, L.A. It's not one of those, but I thought that was kind of a big, I don't know, big marketing move almost for Nikola Jokic, because not everybody nationally pays attention to him. They should. But I kind of thought that part, that takeaway at least, was kind of cool for Denver.
Yeah, no doubt. And like I was just saying, he was just acting like himself, just his total carefree personality, just that natural spirit that he has that's so rare in the NBA definitely shined through. So I think it was really cool for the rest of the nation to just see that. And it just kind of felt like, to me, you know, he's carried the Nuggets really on his shoulders. I mean, Jamal Murray has really been ascending this last month, but up until, you know, the beginning of February, Nikola was just carrying this team on his shoulders. And just for one night, he got to play the game that he loves, just kind of carefree and without having to shoulder just the team on his back for one night. So I really felt like that shined through.
We're talking to Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets, and he's such a unique star. He does seriously look like he's always having fun, and I'm not trying to knock other players, but LeBron James, I mean, he always looks serious. He always looks, you know, almost on the verge of being upset. You look at Nikola Jokic, and yeah, he can get intense. I think we've seen that a little bit this season, but he really seems to be one of those guys that he can take things seriously while not at the same time, if that makes any sense.
No, totally. And you saw it during the All-Star game. He just doesn't care about his brand. He doesn't care about his image. All of these guys in the NBA these days, and really probably almost everyone in that All-Star game, is so conscious of what other people think about them. And even LeBron, you know, he's got to keep up this image even in an All-Star game. And Nikola just doesn't care about that stuff. And that's like the coolest part about him, at least for me. And I actually think that's the reason why Giannis kind of was just talking about, like, wow, like, I love playing with this guy, Nikola. I love being around him. Because Nikola, he just doesn't care about being cool. And that's, like, so refreshing compared to when you look at all the other NBA All-Stars that were in those locker rooms. And I really wonder if Giannis kind of saw that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. You might see more players start to say, you know what, I think we talked about it last week. I even noticed it with some of Jamal Murray's tweets. They're a little more positive. They're kind of funny. They're kind of goofy too, giving Joker a hard time. Maybe other teams in the league look at that and it's like, you know what, we can be serious and try to win basketball games, but we can also have fun, because at the end of the day, that's why we love this game.
Yeah, definitely. And there's that side, Nikola. But like you were just saying a couple minutes ago, we've seen the other side of him, where he's an absolute killer when it really matters, you know.
Yeah.
When he's on the court in a regular season game, and then, like, obviously in the playoffs, the dude's a stone-cold killer and just turns it up to the max when he needs to. So I just think it's cool that he's got both sides to him.
And I love it, too. If you don't know Nikola Jokic, you read quotes that say, hey, I was the reason we won that game. I love that kind of stuff so much. And of course, Giannis handing him the trophy at the end. That, to me, like you said, the game itself wasn't that great. But Joker, Giannis, I mean, they made that somewhat interesting.
Yeah, sure. I just love the friendship that it seems like it really hit it off between Giannis and Nikola during that game. Look, they're both 26 years old. They're both from Europe. I think there's a little connection there. And look, I don't think, you know, Milwaukee's going to let Giannis get away anytime soon, but I would just, you know, keep it in the back of your mind. Those two are, I think, genuine friends.
Oh, man. I mean, if we're going there in my brain, I just got goosebumps. Like, the Nuggets would never lose, man. I mean, that would be a dream come true, wouldn't it?
Oh, for sure. And you saw it in the All-Star game. Look, Nikola loves to pass. Giannis obviously loves to score, loves to dunk the ball. Like, their games fit so well together. You couldn't find a better power forward whose just skill set fits with Nikola offensively and defensively, I don't think, other than Giannis. So it's a distant pipe dream. I don't want to get anybody excited about it. But, hey, I can't have been the only one who was thinking about that when all those quotes are coming out.
Oh, no question. That was the first thing on my brain hit is, hey, maybe they'll want to team up. Hopefully it's not in Milwaukee. Hopefully that would be Denver. You're just saying what everybody was thinking, man. So, I mean, we can't blame you there. Harrison, what about the rest of this roster? We chatted about it last Friday, which, again, feels like forever. Getting this roster back, it's a good thing. We want to start seeing guys get healthy, getting Jamichael Green, Gary Harris, Paul Millsap rolling again. But that in itself is going to provide a good challenge, but yet again a challenge for Mike Malone as far as who's getting more minutes. How are we going to balance this out?
Oh, for sure. And the number one thing I'm watching for tonight, and this is if Paul Millsap and Jamichael Green play, both of them are questionable. Both of them seem like they're really trending towards potentially being available. And the Nuggets will work them in slowly, but how do their presences impact what position Michael Porter Jr. plays? Because we talked about it whenever I was last on with you, Brady, but he was really comfortable over this last stretch of games before the All-Star break at the power forward position. And both of those guys, their primary positions are power forward. So I'm under the belief, and my take is that he's in such a good mental space right now, Porter is. And obviously he was playing great on the court, but he's in such a great mental space where I think you would want to keep him in that same role. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm kind of fascinated to see how it develops tonight if Millsap and Jamichael Green are available.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what that's going to look like. Harrison, do you see the Nuggets doing anything before the trade deadline, or do they like this group and they feel like they can truly make that run, move up in the standings, and you know, of course, take the next step in the playoffs? Or do you think that they might dabble, make a move or two?
I think they'll dabble. I think they'll dabble. I think they'll look to definitely upgrade this roster. But I don't see, like, a mega move coming. I don't see, like, a huge trade for Aaron Gordon or, like, a Zach LaVine. If those guys are available, I don't see a big-time trade coming. But I think they'll definitely look to upgrade their roster where they think they can. But in terms of, like, a big earth-shattering move, no, that's not the Nuggets' style, and I think they still believe in this core. Obviously, the big three are untouchable, but I think they'll look to make some upgrades kind of around the edges.
If they don't, or even if they just make a small move, or maybe they don't make move at all, do you think that this roster has what it takes to get through the likes of the Lakers, the Clippers? I mean, we saw them beat the Clippers last year. We saw them beat the Jazz, but I think we all know the Jazz, even a completely different team compared to last year. Do you think the Nuggets have the pieces right now to maybe contend and win a title this year?
I think they need another piece. I really do. I think they just need better defense, to be honest. And look, maybe, you know, when Gary Harris gets back and they get Jamichael Green and Paul Millsap back, all those guys are plus defenders. So maybe their defense continues to trend upward. But from what I've seen, I think they need another piece that's a defensive first guy. But then again, you know, every team in the league is searching for that guy at the deadline right now. So I don't think they have the pieces right now to win a title. Now, can they get back to where they were last year? I think they can, and maybe the recipe is just to outscore everybody because when this team is really clicking, nobody's going to stop Murray, Porter, and Jokic when they're on the floor together. I don't think many teams can stop this offense, but I think they're searching for more defense.
Nuggets are listed as fifth right now with the Clippers, Lakers, Suns, Jazz up there. Do you think the Jazz will come back down to earth a little bit in the second half of the season?
Yeah, I think they will. And they hit a bit of a little rough stretch before the All-Star break. I think they'll come down to earth a little bit, but they could, you know, still get the number one seed. Like, I would still pick them to take the one seed right now, if you ask me. I think Denver can get into the top four, though. I think, you know, Phoenix has been really good. Maybe they'll come back down to earth a little bit. The Lakers, who knows how long Anthony Davis is going to be out. And the Nuggets have a really favorable schedule over the second half. I think they have the fifth easiest schedule, just strength of schedule-wise. And they've got a lot of games at home. This next 10-game stretch for them is pretty favorable as well. So I think Denver can go on a little bit of a run here, and I don't think a top four seed is out of the question.
How about one more for you, Harrison? The MVP watch, as we talk about Nikola Jokic, I mean, he's right there, Joel Embiid, LeBron James. But how important is that standing going to be for Denver? I mean, if they're a seven seed or six, doesn't that hurt Nikola Jokic's chances? And if so, what seed do they need to get in order for that to certainly improve that shot?
Oh, yeah. It's all about what seed the Nuggets are when talking about his MVP candidacy. I'd say they definitely have to be top four. Maybe they have to be top three. Maybe they even have to be top two. If the 76ers finish number one in the East, Joel Embiid's just going to win that award. I don't think there's any way he doesn't if they're the top seed in the East. If they slip a little bit, then, yeah, that field opens up. And, look, I mean, yeah, I think you know me, Brady. Like, Nikola Jokic is the MVP this year. He's been the single most impactful player in the league, especially on the offensive end. Nobody has done more for their team than Nikola Jokic. He absolutely carried them on his back, really, up until this last, like, three-week stretch. So he should be the MVP, in my mind, at least right now. But, yeah, Denver's going to have to be, I think, in that top three, probably. Definitely top four, maybe even the top two for him to really have a shot.
Well, it's going to be an interesting second half. And, hey, without even playing, the Nuggets moved up a spot. So sitting at fifth with Portland dropping. It's going to be fun, man. I'm looking forward to it. Harrison, always appreciate your insight, my friend. And we'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, sounds good, Brady. Take care.
All right, man. Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets. And that's a kind of a cool topic. Just Nikola Jokic and Giannis Antetokounmpo, that relationship, this little bromance thing that they had on Sunday. But I was thinking the same thing. Like, I think, I was like, what if these two end up together someday? And then they're in Denver. My goodness, Colfax. Talk about the golden era of Nuggets basketball. Don't think it's going to happen.
Well, the flip side is Jokic maybe.
Goes to Milwaukee.
That's scary.
Yeah, I thought about that too.
I don't want to think about that.
I thought even before that with Dallas, because, you know, Luka, right. I thought he would want to go to Dallas someday. But Harrison's already told us, he's like, don't worry. I mean, Joker loves Denver. He loves being around here. But as these guys develop better friendships, I mean, and you're playing with these guys all the time. And if they're good and you think, man, we could win and have fun,
why not?
It's the perfect package, man. I do think that, like, Joker is the kind of guy, Colfax, he can be a role model without being a role model. Just so showing that you can be positive and have fun. And I bring up LeBron James again, and I know he gets into the politics side of it. And I'm not even making this a political discussion right now. But LeBron never looks happy. He's arguably one of the greatest basketball players in the history of the NBA. Certainly the greatest in the NBA right now, over the last, you know, since he's been in the league. He doesn't look happy. He doesn't look like he's having fun. Steph Curry looks like he's having fun. You know, Joel Embiid looks like he's having fun. There's guys in the league, though, that I wonder if they looked at Nikola Jokic and Giannis and said, wow, you can still be the best and ultra competitive and win. And you can also screw around a little bit. You can also have fun with it. I mean, I've been to one Nuggets media day, and Joker's a blast. He's absolutely a blast.
I was going to say Tom Brady as well. I mean,
yeah. He's serious all the time, right? But he's
But then he let loose after that championship.
Yeah, he's starting to open it up a little bit.
It's there.
Yeah. I mean, he was tweeting out at the beginning of the season. It's one of my favorite tweets from him when Rob Gronkowski signed with Tampa Bay, and he just wrote, "Let's blanking go." Tom Brady, or no, he's like, "It's are you ready?" or "It's go time." And Tom Brady retweets it and says, "Indeed, Robert. Indeed." Like, it's just like you can have fun with it now. Yeah. And I think that you're seeing players, there are more players that are doing that. I saw it with Jamal Murray. He's making fun of himself. You know, certain faces that he's made that the camera catches him, he retweets it and he's having fun with it rather than just a, "Hey, what's wrong with my game tonight? You know, and now what, you know, I can do it all." He's having more fun with it. And I don't know, is that a coincidence? He's starting to play a lot better, too. Maybe not putting so much pressure on himself. 40 minutes after the hour, Colfax, way overdue for this one. Let's jump out of here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Big second half of the season for the Denver Nuggets, and as you know, with the new playoff rule, at least for this year, you got to avoid 7 and 8, because technically, Colfax, getting in the 7th seed and 8th seed, that's actually not playoffs. That doesn't, you know, you have a better shot, but you got to play. That is the tough part. I mean, at first, I kind of like it. It's unique. It's a wild card game, essentially. But if I'm thinking about it, if Denver's a 7th seed, and they work hard to get that 7 seed all year, but they lose twice in a row, knocked out. Man, I don't know how I feel about that. You know, I know the listeners are saying, "Hey, well, if you lose, you don't deserve to be in there anyway." Well, then that's Denver lot was down 3-1 in the playoffs and came back and won. So you could argue that even if they were down 2-0 in a series, they could still come back and win. But if you lose two games, if you're 7 or 8 seed and you lose to the eight seed, and then you have to lose, you play Memphis or Golden State, who's 9-10, then you're knocked out. So I can't imagine the NBA is going to stay with this, because those teams that earn those spots, 7 and 8, probably going to raise some cane, man. I think they're not going to like that. I think it's a tough deal. At first, I kind of liked it, but now I think they need to go back to the regular thing. I like the motivation it has, though, for not tanking.
I know it's weird because it avoids that situation, but then at the same time, it also negates the entire season for those four teams or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Golden State's a 500 team, and if it plays out this way, they would have to play, you know, the loser between San Antonio and Dallas. If Golden State beats them, they're in. They're the 8 seed, and it just one game. You could be 10 games behind them,
right?
And you just beat them once, which on any given night, I mean, any team can lose in the NBA in a series. That's why I love the playoffs. In a best of seven series, you weed out the top team, but that doesn't mean the Lakers can't lose to the Timberwolves on a random bad night. It's just if they did a game best of seven, yeah, Lakers are going to win 4-1, if not sweeping. So, yeah, I would imagine the NBA is not crazy about this. It's better than what were they talking about, like the middle of the season, mid-season tournament?
Yeah.
Well, that was like...
But it had no effect on anything?
Had no effect. It was just a little mid-season tournament.
Just for funsies.
Yeah, why? Like... I'll listen to you if you're telling me that it has something to do with the standings, but I'm still not going to like to. You have your regular season, you have your playoffs. You know, it's kind of my whole thing with college sports, too. I don't like the fact that, Southern Utah, who just beat UNC yesterday, they're the number one seed. They could lose today, and it's over. They're done. Even though they won the regular season title, they got the number one seed, it doesn't mean anything. Now, so I actually... As fun as these conference tournaments are, I will admit they're very fun, I don't like what it does to the regular season. It diminishes the regular season.
Especially for these lower conferences where there's no
at-large bids. Especially.
Yeah.
Because, think about that. You bust your butt and, you know, you just have a bad night. You have look at the Buffs. Look at McKinley Wright. He's the best team in the state, or best player in the state. He was like 4 for 14. It happens. You're going to have bad shooting nights. And if it happens in the tournament, then you're out. You know, like, see who gets a, they get the, you know, the at large. But still, it's kind of, anything that negates the regular season, I typically am not for.
Because then what's the point of the regular season?
Right. That's the whole point. It's the journey. It's all the games. We're stacking you up, and now suddenly it's meaningless. Wyoming could have upset San Diego State yesterday. And then they go on and win the tournament. I'll never forget that year. They were bad, and Larry Nance Jr. was out with mono for 2 weeks, and Wyoming couldn't win a game. They get into the tournament. They win out. It was exciting, but it completely negates the – you could theoretically in the Big Sky, you could lose every single game. You could be 0 for 21 or whatever it is.
And win the tournament.
And win the tournament.
And then go to the
March
Madness.
Silly.
Yeah.
It's silly. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll wrap up the show on the other side. We'll get to what's on tonight because there is a lot on, and we'll get to it next.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party. Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
McLean says it was a bad business decision signing Melvin Gordon. Same for Lindsey. We should let him go. Let both of them go? Let Gordon go or let Lindsey go? Or let them both walk? Gordon, listen, I was such a fan of Melvin Gordon. I know we got to wrap up here, but I was such a big fan of Melvin Gordon. I just didn't know if this was the time, the timing was right, because it just felt like you were screwing over Phillip Lindsey. But I actually, even with the DUI or no non-DUI or whatever, I still think Melvin Gordon's got a couple of good years left. I mean, the second half of the season, he was pretty damn good. All right, what is on tonight? Well, we have the Pac-12 semifinals tonight starting at 6:15 here on 1310 KFKA. CU and USC play at 9:30 tonight. You have Denver in the NBA taking on Memphis tonight, 6 o'clock. It'll be on NBA TV or Altitude. CSU and Utah State, they're playing at 9:59, and that is because you can't enter midnight in there. It messes it up. So that's why they had to put 9:59. I thought that was strange. CSU, Utah State. I would say the winner is going dancing. The loser still got a shot. If you're CSU, you still got a shot, but just go ahead and beat Utah State. Get into that conference championship. Take some revenge out or some anger out on San Diego State. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.